What up, Doe?
Yo, what's the deal?
What's happening with that?
I got you.
Damn.
Now you don't know what to say.
Hey, guys, what's the deal? What's poppin'? It's Wednesday. Y'all know what it is. We back at it.
It's a new episode. What is it? 84.
Oh, it's Randy Moss time.
Oh, 84.
84, Randy. Nah. We're going to keep it current. It's Cordell Patterson time.
Oh, yeah. Put some respect on his name, Cordell.
Put some respect on that man's name.
I'm just trying to, give props to the Hall of Famer.
I respect it. I respect it. But for the kids that's like in 9th, 10th grade who don't know who Randy is.
They should.
Antonio Brown, like 2012.
Yeah, Antonio Brown, you know what I'm saying?
What's up?
We got to do it like that, Yeah,
he went like 2000, like 2000s.
He did. He took it there.
I did.
Yeah, it's all right.
That's our era.
We know what it is.
It's Wednesday night. It's Sports Talk with Mark DP featuring Coach Fern, the Grizzate.
Yeah.
Your favorite Wednesday night trio.
Oh, yes.
Trifecta.
We back at this mother level. And we got guests with us.
We got double
not
duty.
Not one.
Not one, but two.
By two.
And we technically have a third that's kicking it off to the side, doing some BTS.
We do.
What's happening with you?
I say,
pull it up, everybody.
Mr. Yo.
Cheers, everybody.
Go ahead, Tool. What's the deal, man? Welcome. What's your name?
Justin Tupo. I'm excited to be here. Hey, I love the energy,
We come with it.
Shout out to Coach Justin from Lakewood High School. And then on the StreamYard, if you're watching us on YouTube Live, you can catch it right now. My man, VJ, what is happening, brother? Yeah. Shout out to the DMV, baby. Shout out to the DMV. I know, man. We was popping, and then COVID happened, and then you grew the family and all that. And dog, like, what's been happening?
I need to put this thing away, man. I'm gonna think. I screwed it off and put it in the attic on Thursday. I put it in a drawer. It's gonna stay there for a while.
Yeah.
I'm too old to be having damn kids, but this is what COVID would do. My son's name is Cole, and my daughter name is Corina. So that's how That's how my kids came out.
Okay.
It came out with test results. I've been busy. Yes. Thank you, man. I just had my baby daughter last Monday morning, man. So my daughter. Jennifer,
Congratulations. Round of applause. Many blessings to the family.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time, man. You linked up with me, last week, and you were like, Mark, let's get back on the radio. I was like, all right, cool. Get your ass on here Thursday, man. Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Right,
cut him off.
It's Wednesday.
It happens. Hey.
Nah, yeah. That means the week must be going good for you, because if you think it's Thursday.
Yeah, he already thinking ahead.
I'm thinking one day ahead, because I get the hell out of here.
You 24 ahead. We still chilling.
That's cool.
It's still Wednesday.
It's cool. Shit. It happens. But no, VJ, you are into many endeavors, my brother. Go ahead and let the good people know about the network you've created. You have your own sports podcast. You even work in the entertainment industry. So give us all a beautiful rundown of your career.
I appreciate the lead in, man. Invest in Sports, VJ Entertainment Sports Network is my network that I started in LLC through Husky Entertainment, my entertainment company. That's LLC. Just trying to bring back real sports talk, man. I don't like debate shows. I don't like personal narratives. I don't like a lot of the BS that's narrated. I don't like the way sports is covered and talked about. I'm an old head. You know what I'm saying? I'm an OG. Don't let the young looks fool you. I remember a day where you had to get the paper. You know what I'm saying? You had to read the newspaper. Wasn't no internet. I come from that and the way sports was covered in. So we're trying to get back to classic. And we still can talk about guys we don't like openly and guys that we have a over-fanism for. So, and then add entertainment to it. 20-year stand-up comedian. From the DMV, started opening up for guys back in the day like Chappelle, and Monique and Samore and Earthquake and all those guys back in the DMV back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So just creating my two worlds that I live in and built the network and looking for talent to bring on, man. We're looking to put together a lot of big things and use this platform for a lot of young black and minority entrepreneurs out there that whether you're selling jewelry, you're selling clothes, you rap, you do comedy, you do, you know, you act, whatever you got, a web series, we want to air it on Vestin Network and give you the love that the bigger networks and some of the other streaming devices aren't giving people. So that was the whole thought process behind that. Bring it back to my people, man, and create something that hadn't been done before. So we're proud of it, man, and we're glad to be able to rep it here on the great TNG with you four fellow black kings, man. It's a great moment to put that word out there on another platform.
Man, that's what's up. Shit, round of applause.
Yeah, that was classy. Black accent, that was classy. That was
round
classy.
Round of applause.
That was classy.
No. That's a, I know.
Well, I'm afraid about my mom and my grandma, so I consider myself a classy ninja. You know what I'm saying?
There you
my
go.
Mom,
classy ninja.
Shout out to the classy ninjas in the world.
Listen, Mark knows me. I do say, Mark's come to my shows. First of all, y'all sitting next to my brother, man. This cat, we met through Rob Parker. He comes to my comedy shows. Anybody that spend their bread to come watch me get on stage and do my thing,
that's love. That's love.
Five shows of mine, you know what I'm saying? So I love this cat, man. So I love the energy that him and I, you know, share back and forth. But yeah, I was raised to be classy. And I don't know what I can say, but he told me I
did
wrong.
No, bro,
you got freedom of speech, bro. You can say whatever you want to say. Whatever you want to say.
We've had great dope-ass conversations. I've seen your shows. I'm coming to you next one, December 4th. Matter of fact, tell everybody about your next show on December 4th.
I'll be headlining a show by Jeff Hodges at the New Comedy Cafe. The Yaman, of course, it would be an island nigga to have to call his comedy. When I seen this shit, I was like, black people, goodness gracious. I love y'all, but goodness gracious. Black people, I'll be the headlining. Great show, not just myself. I headline about 20, 30 minutes set, but there's some other really great other comedians that's going to be on the tab, man. Get your drinks, get your little snacks and food. Just come laugh and have a good time. And December 4th, Hollywood on Melrose Boulevard. The flyer is out there. If you don't know the address, Google it.
Hey, I'll shop it around too. I'd say I know I'll be there. I sent you my money for the ticket was like the other day. So no, I'll be there. Hopefully these guys can come with me.
Yeah.
No, it'd actually be a dope time. Justin, I mean you lady, come on
yeah,
down.
We might have to pull up. You know what is
pull
that?
On up.
Is that a Friday?
Let me check.
What's a Friday?
Yeah,
Saturday.
Hey, check what the calendar.
Fourth is.
It's a Saturday. Saturday.
Okay. It's Saturday.
Already.
Saturday night. Oh, that's about 3 weeks.
Yeah, like 2-3 weeks.
For shouty.
Have a good time, man. The show starts at 7:30. Once again, though, it's black folks, so probably like 7:50.
Fair enough. It might even be at 8, you know?
Yeah, because once you get closer to 8, you know how brothers is. We'd be like, yo, you want to get started? Be like, I mean, shit, this is
might as well wait 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's just wait till 8. Wait till 8. All right, we'll wait till 8.
Right. Peak out, audience still sitting there. Everybody, you know, frolicking, drinking. It's all good.
So I'll probably just stage about 9:45, man, 9:50. So you ain't got to be there right then, but it's like 6 comedians. So the show moves slow, moves at a nice pace. But if you guys come out, man, trust me, you guys will enjoy yourself. And I appreciate the love, straight up.
Of course.
And shout out to the Fabuloso joke that you've told, that I've heard before. That shit is a classic, fuck. Dog.
Oh, shit.
He knows exactly what I'm talking about.
You might want to say that one.
Yeah, you might want to
enlighten us.
Nah, say that one. I say enlighten us later towards the end. We're here for the jokes and shit. But to get everybody involved, and specifically our two guests, from a sports standpoint, Justin, VJ, you know, you guys have been integrated in sports for a long time. What got you guys into sports? You know, VJ, you from a journalism standpoint, Justin, you from a coaching standpoint, like what got you guys into doing and getting into the routes that you guys are into now? And Justin, go ahead.
I mean, there's nothing better than sports, being on a team, competition. Mm-hmm. I knew it when my playing days were over, I was going to find a way to be around the game.
Got to.
And so, and I'm still a part of a team, a coaching staff, going out there preparing these kids for battle, but also preparing them for life. There's nothing greater. So, yeah.
For most sure. Most definitely. These answers today are just, oh, man. These guests are coming.
Hey, I'm here for it. I'm here for the interview.
Factuals.
VJ, yo, route.
Hold on, let me go to my good shit. Hold on.
Like, shit.
I got books. Hold on, y'all think I'm playing? I got books. Hold on.
He like, wait a minute. I know I got one about sports in here.
Yeah. No. I'm a storyteller. My degree is in journalism and broadcasting. You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm a filmmaker. Okay. And actually, my first film we're shooting in the spring will be released next summer, early fall, hopefully, if the money all go right. But I like telling a story. So journalism allows you to tell a story. I take journalism very seriously. I hate unresponsibility sports journalism. You know what I'm saying? That's why I like personal narratives. That's unresponsible. You give it a platform. You should use that platform to educate the masses the best of your ability, whether you agree with the topic in the final decision or not. Whether you like Jordan or you don't, whether you like LeBron or you don't, whether you like Brady or you don't, whether you like Cowboys or you don't, that don't matter. At the end of the day, tell a great freaking story.
Go ahead, drop an F-bomb, dog. We good.
Yeah, my bad. That's what I love about journalism. So that's what brought me to it. And I fell into this, man. I moved out to L.A. and Hollywood 16 years ago to chase acting and comedy. And I fell into this radio thing by linking up with Barb Parker and Chris Broussard and freelancing with ESPN Radio and Fox Sports and Fox Sports Radio and calling high school games. I got a call to do my first high school game.
Oh, he was calling high school games. That's love. Man. Shout out.
What's
that's
up?
Love. Nah. That's love.
Game. And actually, you'll feel this. I'm in the CIF out here in L.A., so I do Bosco, Modern Day, Oaks Christian, Centennial, Corona. Like
all the good teams. What a coincidence that you happen to be. What a coincidence that you happen to be on the show with three of Lakewood High School's coaching staff, man.
Yeah, this our head coach right here.
This is a connection. Just
we need. In, we need some
organic.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, I don't mean to ramble, but
no,
I'm
go ahead.
Hyped about this, but I love telling the story about sports, and that's what brought me to journalism, because I get to tell the story. And what's even better with Best in Sports is I want to bring it back to classic storytelling and stop moving with the meter and moving with the crowd, because that shit's whack and it's gonna change and it's gonna end anyway. There's no stability with it. You know what I'm saying? It's like reality TV. Sooner or later, you just look at it and you just go, all right, yeah, enough of that shit. And it's something else. But you always gonna stay with classic shows. So TV's always gonna be relevant, and journalism, I feel like, is the same thing.
Facts.
Factual.
I think it's important that we have people that do identify with that and are able to make sure that a story is being told, and it, like you said, it's not just debate or it's not just hearsay. And then, like you said, it's also facts. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, Your story has to have a goal towards the end. You know, at some point you got to reach a goal. At some point, the story or the motive behind your story has to be reached. You know, it just can't be just lost words, so to speak. And I think a lot of times, especially, you know, you've had experience working with ESPN, working with Fox, and I'm sure you even recognize this when you kind of watch these talk shows that are currently on now, and just how, like you said, some 9 times out of 10 people are tending to tell their personal narrative. You know what I'm saying? They're not really telling a story or using facts behind what they're saying.
Yeah, no, and that's what makes a lot of it unwatchable. I watched maybe 3 things. As big as a sports fan I am, I'm a guy who DVRs, and this is, and Mark can attest this, I'll DVR anywhere between 6 to 10 college football and college basketball games a day, or for college football, a Saturday. And eventually, within a 24-hour period, I will sit and watch all those games. I'll stay off the internet so I don't get ruined, so the scores don't get ruined.
Right.
So I feel like that I actually watch enough to be able to truly just be unbiased about a lot of it and speak it more in a technical term, but entertaining and fun, to where a fan can go. My favorite compliment is, man, you be hating on such and such, but you did get me about such and such. Or you did get me, I just want to make you think.
Right.
I just want to make you think. I don't want to change your mind about LeBron. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I want to hear you say is, I feel you. There's no such thing as perfect. There's no such thing as perfection. We all got skeletons. I don't like perfect athletes. Right. So that's the story that I tell. I don't like, oh, you never been. You don't know. You don't know what he do in his house. You know. And that's what my mind wraps with it. And why I like to tell the story. Like what Steve said, it's. I'm glad you made that point, that there's got to be people that's able to receive that, though.
Facts.
Instead of you just being a hater.
Yeah.
and you mentioned about the DVR, you know, this, you know, 6 games, you know, college football, college basketball, NFL, NBA, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And within the last, you know, 2 to 3 years, where, you know, the gambling scene has become very heavy in the discussion and the narratives of sports and, you know, sports predictions, you as a journalist, how do you not just perceive but receive the infiltration of sports gambling making its way into the narratives that are being put out there every week, as far as who's going to win, who's not going to win, who should win this, who should win that, individual performance versus team performance, and, you know, things like that. So do you overall like what sports gambling has done to sports journalism?
I don't think it's done anything to sports journalism. Cheating, this is how I look at sports as a whole. Cheating is in the game. It's going to happen. We only care about it if we find out about it and it goes against what we wanted to happen. If it doesn't go against what we wanted to happen. Oh,
right. That was major. BJ, you might have to repeat that.
Yeah, say it again.
Okay, not a problem. There's always cheating in all sports. Mm. The only time we care about it is when it gets caught and it affected what we wanted to happen.
Correct.
Exactly.
Even if when it's was PEDs, GHG, GHG, ABC, W, 1, 2, 3, all that, whatever. It's all involved. All colleges pay kids, period. Whether you believe it or not, we only care that if one guy can dominate a certain conference with a certain
looking into that
for about 11 years and rack up 5 or 6 national championships, then we don't like it. But if it was from Michigan, I wouldn't say shit. You see Michigan on my wall right here.
Go blue!
I would probably find a way to go, I mean, so what? I mean, everybody pay more money. I mean, what? Would you want me not to win? So, I don't think it's done much betting. What I don't like is it's just so obvious. The personal foul on the Chicago Bears player where the ref sticks his leg.
Oh my God.
That was terrible.
I was infuriated because honestly, he should have been fired. The NFL should have fired him. You can't do that.
They supported him.
No, yeah.
They fined Marsh.
Yeah, Cassius Marsh.
They fined Cassius Marsh, but they supported the ref in doing so. I forget the exact statement they made, but it was basically saying, it said something like Cassius Marsh's actions were validated that flag, so to speak. It was some of that nature. But yeah, he for sure should have been fined.
I'll do this. I'll answer your question this way. We've been snorkeling with the sports talk. Everybody put on your scuba gear because I'm about to get deep. Put the scuba shit on. If you look at what the NFL did, they set us all up. Remember last year because it was no fans and it was COVID and everything. Players were allowed to celebrate in an exorbitant type of way.
Facts.
We saw entire sidelines go to the video board, hold up the game for 3 or 4 minutes, and all pose, strike their pose and whatnot, all in the camera. And we loved it, and no one complained. No one bitched and moaned about it. But then they changed the rules in 1 year. And now it allows the betting to be affected even more now because you can, if you add more fifth, there's a stat I saw that I thought was really interesting, something I dug up. The more 15-yard penalties you accrue in a game against the other team, your winning percentage goes up like 36%.
That's insane.
It's almost like a turnover.
Yeah. Right. It is a turnover.
You got to get better at those.
Honestly, that's almost 2 turnovers a game, though. If you look at the percentage of teams that turn the ball over 2 or more times, their loss percentage goes down. Your loss percentage goes up like 28, 29%. You're going to lose like 30% more of your games if you turn the ball over twice. So if you have these penalties, you can work it into the game. Wow. I think that is how the NFL is starting.
They need to stop cheating. I mean, start.
Now the betting, and I bet. I look at the spreads. I bet in basketball. I don't do baseball and hockey. I do football and basketball, college and pro. I put money on the money line. I don't really like the spreads because I know the spreads can be manipulated.
Yeah.
And Donahue and the NBA guys, he wasn't the only ref. You know what I'm saying? John Gotti wasn't the only crime boss. It always takes a snitch. The way you weed out a dirty lawyer is you find another dirty lawyer. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
For sure.
If you can't find enough guys to make this claim, then you're right, Mark. It's affected the game. It hasn't affected journalism. But I think the smart journalists, we already know everybody's cheating. We don't give a shit. I don't care about the play game. I don't. When I beat you 44-3, I could have played you with a sock wrapped in duct tape.
It's a wrap. Yeah, the game was already won.
Well, 41-3 is not the football.
Right, it's not the ball.
Well, and when I mentioned the betting part, aside from the cheating perspective, it's, you know, whenever there's any sports show, it's, we're going to talk about this game, you know, so-and-so is favored by -4, so-and-so is favored by -19, you know, what the hell is going on, you know, what do the wise guys know in Vegas and things like that. Like, the spread always makes its way into how we're going to talk about this upcoming matchup. And as a, you know, spectator, it's like, all right, cool, so-and-so's favored to win, but they probably were favored anyway. I don't give a damn what the spread is unless I'm really that much into gambling. But if you're that much into gambling, you can find out what the spread is without you being reminded of it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with a spread change come Friday.
Yeah, and if your favorite team wins, but they didn't cover, or
and that's why he does the money line.
Yeah, because I mean, of course, any better or any gambler in that sense is gonna know what their own strategy is. You know, whether that week they going with all away teams for whatever reason, or they going with all home teams, whatever their strategy might be, they gonna know. They gonna know what works for them, and you know how they what it determine their outcome. You know what I'm saying? But it's just crazy that we start to notice, like you said, that crazy stat of, you know, those 15 yard penalties which end up becoming two turnovers. Mm-hmm. It's like the right people with this information are going to finesse the game.
Oh yeah,
no matter what, the game's going to get finessed. You know what I'm saying? In some way, shape, or form, it's going to happen.
It's taking away the fun, though.
Yeah, it does 100%. It kind of waters it down. Just the same with the hitting penalties. You know, you can't get cleaned up the way you used to get cleaned up.
Hold on, what's that mean?
Does it take away the fun, or does it just make it a more creative game to cover and a more creative game to bet? I'll give you an example. Bama played New Mexico State Saturday.
Horrible.
New Mexico State was 1-8. We already know what Bama is, and I called Bryce Young's games at Modern Day and Cathedral out here in SoCal. So I've been watching this kid since he was a sophomore. Huge fan. He's got number one overall draft pick potential. But there's no way he should have played that deep into that game. And let me say, and just
hell no.
How easy they do it though, and they slide it in on you. You have to watch these things. They pulled this. They did pull some of the offensive starters off, so it makes it look like that they're trying not to run the score. But your backups can start at New Mexico State.
Yes,
they wouldn't be 1-8 right now. But he keeps a lot of the pass rushers and linebacker starters in, and they just keep putting pressure on pressure. So you're not going to score. One of these backup true freshmen and sophomores, they're going to break some tackles or break a run and score. They won. They covered that shit by 56. I thought there was no way in hell they would cover a 50-point spread. But when I watched the game, I said, yeah, he's got these guys in late. And it's not Saban. It's someone that's calling down the plays to Saban. It's not him. He doesn't know.
Because Saban not making no subs. Yeah,
Saban not give two shits.
Unless Saban hopped on there and said, you know, mass up, we want all the twos in. You know what I'm saying? Unless he's saying that, it's not going to happen.
Hey, real talk. You want to talk about headsets? Something that I heard, VJ, I think you may have heard about this. You know who used to have a headset, like, for all the games up until, like, the last, I think, 5 years ago?
Who that?
Phil Knight. He would go to all the Oregon football games, and he would have a headset.
Oh, yeah.
For what?
Oh, no. The minute he wanted to see something, he would just chime in.
Damn.
He would know every play that was being called.
Yeah, hit him up because he a couple headsets.
Bro, he's way too tapped in for that. Yeah. There's no way.
But, like, it was a thing, and then, like, the Pac-12 got on them, and they were like, get rid of that.
Yeah, why would Phil Knight – what is Phil Knight got no damn connection to their football program other than providing them.
I was going
to
say
he
funds the entire school.
But as a coach, I'm not giving – this dude no headset.
But when you're the biggest donor who's richer than your head coach,
I don't know.
I'm
giving him a dud.
We try to raffle off a call a play for a game. So
we did.
Wait, what?
Wants to do it. Look, Mark, $500 call a play
for $500.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's actually genius.
somebody would do it.
Hey, coach, real talk, I'll pay if you let me call a play or two for you, B. I'll pay.
Hey, as long as it's not no trick play, double reverse pass.
screen.
I'm going to watch about 3 or 4 games. I'm going to analyze the offense. I'm going to see if there's something that not that you're not, you know, doing, like knocking on. But, hey, they might want to slip that receiver through here, free that nice tight end they got in this area. All right, man, let me call Coach.
That's easy.
If you think about it,
you got to call them at halftime to get your play in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, let them know our next fundraiser, our next raffle.
That's it right there.
We're going to tell you, like, hey, we got a fundraiser coming. It's the two plays for the game.
Two plays. What you want? 500 a play. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
We're going to make sure he win.
Bro, them plays got to be touchdowns, boy. Hey,
fuck it. For $500, you get a drive. Fuck
it. A whole series. You get a whole series.
Like, go down the field and score.
Get a whole series.
You get a
like,
possession, dog.
Yeah, you threw us possession. You threw us the bag. Like,
hey, do what you want with that possession.
And if
score.
You score on that first drive, you're going to call the next drive.
Yeah, you get a bonus drive. You get a bonus drive.
For every drive that you score on, you keep
it's
going.
A bonus drive. It's like that one game. The claw machine keep going until you like you win.
Hey,
like,
hey, we just gonna turn to the fan control league.
Yeah,
see?
Fan control league. There you go.
Hey man, let me tell y'all something. If I get a drive, I'm getting at least three out of it. That's guaranteed.
Oh,
that's
there you easy. Go. There you go.
I'm playing point. We ain't punting.
Hell no! For what?
Statistically, punting is the worst thing you can do.
Why would you give? Why would you give your series up? Like
he's gonna look to Justin. We're going for it.
Yeah, I call games, man. That's my thing. Right? That pick. I love sports, but. If the Lord took them all away and left me with one, just leave me high school football, man. I'd be fine the rest of my life.
Man, oh, that's yeah. Next level. That's great. That's level. Let's drink to that. Let's drink to that.
All right, motherfucker, let's drink.
let's get a drink to that.
Shot, motherfucker.
Good thing I brought my coffee.
Yeah. Had to stay up. Next time, on power. So BJ, you told us, you know, you're a journalist. You also a comedian. So which came first? Was it the journalism or was it the comedy?
It was comedy because comedy goes back to the 5th century in BC. So that's before Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And back in, I mean, of course, they give the Greeks and Athens all the credit for everything, right? But when the king or the emperor, somebody wanted to be entertained, or when the town was down about a war they had lost or a battle they lost, they would have somebody called like the jester come out and do shit to try to entertain. That's where juggling was originated at. Riding a unicycle, things like that, falling down, acting goofy. So comedy came first. The first journalist that I can recall learning about in journalism school was like in 1637 or something like that. Some dude in London named Wig Wig Harris. Sound like a nigga, right? That's not the best hair on. Wig, yeah. Hey, y'all seen Wig? We're Wig Harris. Wig Harris. Yeah. They caught him. They finally knocked him. Damn.
All it's right. A rap for Wig.
Yeah, where Gucci at? Gucci around? He locked up too. All right, back. I'm doing Wig Hair in London. So comedy came way before journalism. You're talking, what's that, 15 generations, centuries before. You know, journalism came out, so comedy came first, man. The gift to make people laugh is, that's a gift, man, from God. I didn't take any classes. None of these guys do. Martin didn't take classes. Eddie didn't take classes. Pryor didn't take classes. Tracy Morgan, Sinbad, George Carlin, you know, Red Fox, these guys didn't take fucking classes. You get on stage and you figure out how to work your personality and work your humor, and you tell real stuff to people that they really want to laugh at, but society has told them that they can't laugh at. My wife gets mad when I say retard because she got a slow cousin. But I'm like, I'm
shit. The R word hurts.
Hey, the R word does hurt.
The R word hurts. Damn.
I get it. But it only hurts because we've been told to make it hurt.
Facts.
It didn't
facts,
hurt.
Facts.
It didn't hurt. Like I said, I'm 44. It didn't hurt when I was in middle school. It didn't hurt when I was in high school. It didn't hurt when I was in college or in the military. That was in my 20s. We've been told now that it hurts. We've been told now that the F word for gay people, it hurts. But every time we said it, we didn't mean nothing about somebody being gay. We was just saying it because it was just a word you said that would just knock down your boy for a second when you joning on each other. So, yeah,
South Park got a whole episode about the F word. It has nothing to do with gay people.
Exactly. So we've been told, and that's once again wraps back around to journalism. Why I try to do it responsibly, because I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you an opinion surrounded by real facts and real life situations. You guys said facts a lot. That's fine. But I always tell people, go back to the situation. The situation, like sports, right? Put the tape on. I like the combine, but put the game film on. Show me what he's doing against a guy who's going to be on his level at the next level.
Oh, yeah.
Right. For sure.
Tennessee State, that nigga going to be bagging groceries at Vons in a week.
Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner style. But
don't show me that tape. Show me the tape about the kid that's going to Oregon that he went up against twice in this conference. Show me that tape. I want to see what he did in that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, life, man. Use your eyes. Don't fail the eye test. Just believe what
don't
you
fail
see.
The you eye speak. Test.
Don't fail the eye test, man. Hashtag best in sports. Don't fail the eye test.
Until your eyes can't see that, you know, the talent is not what it, you know, is, and then you need a new set of eyes. But that's, you know, the Detroit Lions scout. Damn, bastards. But hey, you mentioned the F word. Dave Chappelle's latest comedy special, The Closer. What did you think about that?
It went perfect with what you said because he mentioned a lot of things that growing up weren't sensitive topics for us. Like,
yes.
But now, you know, we're in this new age. We want to be
wise. And that's a transition for something later for Justin.
It's actually
gonna be smooth.
Oh, okay,
I hope so. Cause
no, you good.
So yeah, VJ, go ahead and hit that, man. I know you watched it.
Yeah, of course. You know, I think Dave is playing his cards right now. He's talking about the stuff that he knows. Hey, look, it's entertainment. At the end of the day, the bottom line is the people watch.
Yeah.
So you gotta do things to make sure people watch. And he knows what he's doing because he's a brilliant comedian. And he knows what he's setting it up and how he's setting it up. But he's also one of the guys speaking. I've always been this way. Mark can attest to this. I don't fuck your PC shit. I'm going to say what I say. Now, I'm smart. I don't joke about gays. I don't joke about religion. It's just two things that I just don't want to joke about. Not that I'm running, I'm hiding. You can't take a joke. So I won't fuck with you. And y'all can't take a joke. We're all in church like this, but we know the pastor's screwing like three or four women in the church, right? Tragic. So I don't even want to play with y'all. I'm coming to the show and spend your money. You people are cool. But all your stuff, you stay home. I don't want to deal with you. So what Dave is doing is like, all right, Fed, I'm going to tell the truth, but I'm going to still kind of guard my grill, a.k.a. the bag. That's the part I really don't like about it because it's like, bruh, you're speaking for a lot of people right now. It's like Kyrie with the vaccination. People miss a point. He's speaking for a lot of people, so you need to speak. Don't dance. This ain't the prom. Don't do that half-ass shit. You gonna do it, bro. Do it all the way. You can. Not a lot of fans. Why that can needs to. Kevin did that with his one-time apology with the whole F word about the Oscars. And he stood fast. I'm not gonna say it again. And I respected him for that. And it was his way of basically saying, look, man, I apologize. Y'all can't take a fucking joke. Fuck off. I don't need a goddamn apology. I'm still going to make $100 million over here.
Oh, like, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Do the Oscars. Remember, you came after me. I ain't come after y'all.
Right.
said sorry. Alphabet Bowl. All right, y'all over here. I'm not saying anything. I wish Dave took that stance, you know, I said it.
All right. So,
Okay.
And on the subject of sensitive topics or sensitive people, not necessarily regarding to the F word in Justin's situation, and you guys as coaches, as fellow coaches as well, my question to you guys is this: in a environment in a world now where you have more sensitive athletes who go, hey, you yell at me, I'm transferring. And you have way more helicopter parents because you have parents who are on these missions to make their kids succeed because they failed themselves in their childhood, teenage years, and adulthood. How do you, as a head coach, how do you two guys as coordinators, assistant coaches, handle the parents who are just hovering going, play my kid, and the kid's going, you can't talk to me like that anymore because I can't receive tough love.
You setting them up for failure if you don't coach them up, if you don't coach them tough. I mean, they're going to get into the real world and they're going to get smacked, punched in the mouth.
For real, fact.
Because everybody has a plan.
Yeah.
Until you get punched
in the mouth.
Straight up. Like, Mike Tyson.
And so it's our duty, it's our responsibility as coaches to set them up for success after sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so their boss, when they go work in the corporate America or they go work at Vons, they're not going to cut them no slack. You not on time.
Yeah.
You complaining about your duties, your responsibilities, next man up.
Yeah, next man up, for real.
parents got to understand that, too.
And so, DP wasn't doing that.
Have you had to combat a parent who's like, you know, just aggressive and going, my kid is special, but you as their coach who sees their kid every day at practice and you're just like, your kid doesn't meet the eye test, let alone they ain't that damn gifted, but you know what? I'm glad that they're a part of this team and they're learning how to work within the team, build some camaraderie, learn how to be amongst their peers. Have you had to deal with that this past season?
Definitely. As a parent myself, I have two kids. I understand we want what's best for our children.
Sure.
But at a certain point, you can't make excuses for your child. Look, what I tell parents is this. You could come to practice. Mm-hmm. You could come to film sessions. You can watch how your son or daughter is performing every single day. And what decision would you make? Put yourself in our shoes. Would you play your son? Would you play your daughter? And that's what we give them. We give parents that opportunity to come in and be a part of everything we do.
Man.
It's an open door. It's an open door policy, man.
It is open door.
All the Lakewood parents.
If you really, if you really feel like your child is going home and when they with us, they're not receiving the proper care, the proper shot, whatever the case is. Like he said, pull up. Because nine times out of ten.
Oh, that's aggressive.
No,
right
now only pull up.
But for real,
he did say come to death row.
Not only pull up, but. We'll help you fill out the paperwork. Where you trying to go?
Yeah, no, for real. If you want to, if you want to transfer, if that's how you feel, like
we got addresses.
Yeah, like we will help you. Like, no, listen, don't beat around the bush. Don't sit here and let me find out from your homeboy's little cousin. None of that.
Yeah,
you want to transfer? Head coach, right here. Tell him.
Yeah,
tell
he's right here.
And not only that, but what happens off the field? Like, are you going home? What are you doing? Are you on the game or are you on huddle? Because some of y'all huddles time, some of the huddle times be like 1-2 minutes. Like, so don't tell me you're doing everything possible to get better.
Damn, wait, y'all can track that now?
Yes. So we can track huddle time.
When I first had huddle, we couldn't.
What was that?
I'm sorry, I got to jump in here. Y'all track that shit now?
Yeah,
right? That's what I'm like. I'm like, wait, that can be tracked by like, so like players have accounts now and then you can see how long they're on.
How long they've been viewing.
You can see if they've even logged on.
Yeah.
Damn.
Really?
Yes.
And so that's something you could show mom and dad that. You could show the college coaches when they come in and study tape. Hey, look, he's a great player. First of all, look at his grades.
Yeah.
And second of all, look at his login hours.
We have a game this week. He's only been on here for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And now, come on now.
This is dope. If does that affect their play? Do you see that more when they make not fundamental mistakes, small mistakes that win and lose football games over the course of four quarters? Does it equate to the time you see certain guys putting in on the huddle?
I mean, even us as coaches, you can tell when a coach isn't prepared.
100%. It's too obvious.
You could jump on a show and you could tell when somebody don't know what they talking about. Right. So for a player on the field, when they just completely are messing up everything that you've been installing that week, and you go back and you look at how much they've been watching the practices, the install on film, it's a direct correlation. It matches. I mean,
I was gonna say in question. You know, this is my just general curiosity. When you guys are having film sessions with your athletes, what skills are you teaching them so that when they go home, they're watching film correctly? You know, like what specific things are you saying in film sessions? Hey, if I'm a lineman, if I'm a offensive lineman,
how do I correct this or do this?
How do I correct myself? But then when I'm looking at opponent film, am I looking at knuckles? Am I looking at hand plays?
Tendencies.
You know, tendencies. Yeah. If I'm a DB, you know, I'm looking at the wide receiver's foot placement, and then I'm looking at how many steps is he taking, which steps is he doing to get to the outside, which steps is he doing to get to the inside. Like, are you teaching him those things to get him ready for the next level?
Definitely.
Yeah, because I mean, I'll be honest. Like, when Tubo's on the huddle, I promise you, if his is logged in, you're gonna see a plethora of notes.
Oh yeah,
like detail to detail. Is so and so do this? What are you doing here? Like, you know what I'm saying? And as we're going through the meeting, all these notes that he's made are being highlighted directly to that particular player, and of course that position group overall, because it's a general coaching piece. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure, that particular kid may have made a mistake or may have made a good play, because we all know you can't just highlight the negative, you know what I'm saying? Sure. So it's going to all be there, and that's what's going to be conducted through conversation throughout the meeting. So they're going to know.
Okay. But but that's the evolution that we're at now, where you know you have the huddle and it's expansive compared to when it came out. I think my like senior year or senior high school or like freshman year of college, like that's when it came out and it was very limited.
We didn't have it when I was in high school.
Yeah, we had the game tapes, the DVDs. Yeah, we had DVDs, VHS, like.
But to go back real quick, not only can you watch how much they've been watching on film or see, you can see how much they've seen on the install now.
Right.
They only click to 3 slides out of 10. They only click to, they only opened it one time. So you can see everything. So you can see how prepared are they getting for Friday night, Thursday night.
And another thing to mention what VJ asked earlier in regards to, does it correlate? It's, you like Tubo said, it's literally the smallest things that we may mention. It might be something we just reiterated every day in practice. The receiver's lined up at the bottom of the numbers. A post is coming. We get to the game. We're on the sideline. He's at the bottom of the numbers. But because the kid hasn't watched enough film, although we're saying it, he doesn't know what trust that
means. No. He can't even hear you.
He hears it.
Oh, yeah.
He hears it in the sense that you saying it. Yeah. But he doesn't trust that that's going to happen. But then now on the flip side, you got somebody that does watch film and has watched enough and taken the coaching enough to trust what you're telling them, to where that kid, that DB sees that receiver at the bottom of the numbers, and he picks that post off.
Student of the game.
Yeah. Straight up.
Have to be. Ponytails at guard.
What I love about all this talk is that I was that player when I played, man. I don't get kids today who just don't love the game enough. And this goes back to the top of the show of the stuff that they see. I don't even know if we can even blame the kids. We can't blame the kids because our generation has allowed this to happen.
Facts.
We've allowed kids to be on the Xbox and the PlayStation. Now, if I played all that shit too. I go back to Atari 6400. I'm that old. I played them all. I had them all. I played all the Madden, all the Mortal Kombat, all the shooters, all the Bond, 64, Dreamcast, 2K, I played it all too. Shit. But I always knew football, baseball, basketball, shot put, and discus, and track, the sports I did. I always knew all that shit came first. Because you want to be good first before you're popular. The kids today.
The 2K pickup runs is more live than real life.
No. These kids hold so much value to the video game, bro. Oh my gosh! Like,
but think about all the video game. Think about what the game gives them now that once upon a time we didn't have. But now, like, okay, like the 2K pickup runs where you can like do that shit online with everybody on Earth. I've never done it, but I know about it. I'm just saying, personally.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying, but the shit. Those runs apparently are more live than the 24-hour fitness runs. I'd be like, yo, like, you rather give your a hardest in a virtual game than actually go out and hoop.
And then you sick when Miles walk in, pissed at you, unplug that hoe, and all your data's lost.
Dog, and you just, damn, you know, a whole fit. And you just spent all your VC on some Kobe's.
Mom, I just got them just around. I don't care.
And now your stats are eliminated. I average 15 a game. Where?
And Mark, I don't even play online, man. You talk about that 2K run. I don't do none of that shit. I don't even play online.
It's a group chat I'm in, and they know about it.
If you can't come to my crib or I can't come to your spot, we can't roll up and pour a little sippy sip and talk shit to each other right
now. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's really... Because even that in itself... is the social interaction that kids are lacking from just going outside to the, you know, to their boy's house down the street. You know what I'm saying? Like,
2020 didn't help either.
These kids are sitting at the crib playing with Big Sexy 26 and acting like that's their homeboy.
Big Sexy 26.
Like, that's your boy? Like,
And the crazy thing, in a video game, you could just cancel the game if you don't like what's going on.
Right, like, because you're a hater.
In the real world,
it's a wrap. Hey, you trying to walk out of here mid-game, you going to fight.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you might get snuffed at just, real talk, I'm grown. When I was young, I'd have snuffed you. I might mush the shit out of you really hard. But if you unplug some shit or reset while we playing now, bro, that's, come on, what?
Hey, bro, it's deadly.
Once upon a time, there was a life where, you know, the movie White Man Can't Jump actually did come into play. Like, hey, you know what? I'm about to go to the Trump, and I'm going to shoot all you.
He said, you know, by the time I get back, this court better be cleared.
Right. And now it's, you know, just unplug it. He like, you was a hater.
Well, you know what's ill about that scene? Remember, he just went and sold a gun. So the line in the movie,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Both you motherfuckers is crazy. I'm about to go to the car and get my other gun.
Right.
Get the one. It was already sold. But that's what people miss as far as the comedic writing and the shit that journalists see. I was like, hold up. He just sold a gun. Oh, this nigga got another gun.
Right.
Two-piece.
He was ready.
No biscuit.
He gonna get the one that don't miss.
He said, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and get rid of this one. I ain't gonna have to use the other one. The other one chilling.
Hey,
nah, but, y'all wildin'.
But speaking of that movie, his son Josiah, who runs the Twitter page, he actually did one of the Good News Radio shows.
Word?
Yeah. King Josiah? Yeah, he did one of the shows. I met him back at the old studio.
That's hella dope.
Yeah.
You never know who you encounter, man.
Hey, the real cap talk. Is on. I say real talk.
No
like,
cap.
Hey, TG Sports be having some people on here on the low.
No cap.
Hell, What's the show that come on Sundays? The Lakers show. Profanity Nation, yeah. Yo, wait. I'm glad you finished. I'm glad you didn't finish that. No, they actually had LeBron mom on one of their shows.
Word. Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's
hella
dope. How'd they pull that?
Yeah, how'd they pull that?
I don't know, but they've had also like Kareem Rush on their show too. Former Laker.
Listeners who don't know who Kareem Rush is.
Former Piston and Laker.
He is an R&B singer.
He's been
an R&B singer.
Oh, hell. I don't know that.
You know, and
he been in L.A. longer than he been.
He used to play for the Lakers.
I thought he said Kareem and Russ.
Oh.
The Crawfies. He had the ability to be a sixth man of the year. He just never put the work in his game.
It was that weak ass shot he had.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Well, that's working your game. You shooting those jumpers.
Like Alonzo.
I'm a firm believer, man. 500 to a G jumpers a day in the offseason. If you're in high school, college, or the NBA.
Take notes.
It's a mandatory.
Take Alonzo. Notes.
Even if you do it in three sessions and you break it up 350, 350, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you break it up throughout the day. Kobe used to say, Kobe's my guy. Kobe used to say,
shout out to Kobe.
RP. I work out. I'm back home by 6 before the kids and the wife get up. Then I'm back at it again at noon. Back home by 3. Nap, chill the feeling. Then I'm back at it at 8 p.m. that night. You don't hear that.
It's a sacrifice piece, and I think that because I was just you know, relative to that piece about Kobe, I was just watching you know, IT's most recent video that he dropped on YouTube, and it's literally just, you know, his day. You know what I'm saying? He wake up in the morning, go get his early workout in, back at the crib by the time the kids is up, ready for school, drop the kids off, hit another workout. Back to the crib, have some family time, pick the kids up, and wrap the day up with another workout. Then he got his him time. You know what I'm saying? Once the kids is put to sleep. And I think what the younger generation is missing, what they don't really understand, all they see is the fame, the money, you know what I'm saying, the jewelry, all these things.
And the free
that,
sneakers.
Yeah, all they see is the perks of being rich. But they don't see the hard work in the journey to get to where Your Damian Lillard's, your Russell Westbrook's, your LeBron James. They don't really see how they got to that point. All they see is the finished product. So it's like you got these kids, especially, you know, with us coaching high school football, and then you know you've been around the sport for so long. You see these kids that have all these dreams and aspirations of being D1 athletes, of playing at the highest level, but their work ethic ain't even NAIA. You know what I'm saying? Like, It does not match up at all.
A lot of them don't understand what sacrifice truly is or means.
And to be real, some of their parents might not even know what that really means. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't even identify with something you
Justin
never know.
Feels a way about this.
It all
starts at home.
Starts at home. How's home, coach?
Justin's a D1 athlete. He knows sacrifices were made.
I went to the University of Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish.
Oh shit.
So when I heard him say Michigan, I heard you say go blue, I felt some type of way.
He almost left.
You should have felt some fucking type of way because you
there you go.
I'm doing some type of type of way knowing that you went to Notre Dame now.
How are they ranked ahead of Michigan State and they lost to Michigan State?
Boy.
Because they still a better team.
Y'all finally doing something with that Harbaugh boy back there, man. About that time.
Hey,
10 years later.
Hey. Literally.
I'll be as fast as I can. He should have started JJ from the get-go. I'm a firm believer NFL, college, and high school. We all know this. You guys are deeper to the coaching game more than I've ever been in. Kudos to the stories and the shit I hear y'all saying, man, because I like to hear coaches talk like that. But when you recruit somebody at an IMG, you guys, it's like first-round draft pick in the NFL quarterback, you're playing.
Yes. That's why you got this pick.
If you're not going to play, then take somebody else. There's going to be quarterbacks in years to come. There's quarterbacks every single year on all three levels. If he'd have started JJ, I would give them a shot against the Fuck Eyes because I believe.
Fuck Eyes.
hey, we got shirts in Michigan.
Shout out.
Every year and come out. We don't sell them until
shout out to the homie Kales.
They're the Fuck Eyes. So,
and Rail and Steps.
He would be,
fuck
he
all
would
three
be
of them.
Ready for that game at this point, but the spot playing the way that he did, and I give Cade a lot of credit for the way he played at Penn State. But we also have the two best rush ends in college football.
We
and
do
really held that offense down and been able to control that game until he made a play. So, and if it's not for all to catch the, if it's not for the DB running
on the mesh,
way,
the mesh concept all,
exactly. Thank you. Like where, like you said, film study. You gotta know that tight end's crossing.
You know it's coming. If something goes away, something's coming
that
back.
Tight end's coming back, bro. They're yes. Not everybody to one side of the field.
Elementary.
1984. And the corner's running the wrong way. Oh, catches it. He's so surprised he's that damn open. It took him a minute to turn the Jets on because he expected somebody to be there. If not for that play, I don't know how that game goes. So I don't know if he found his guy. And I think he found it in JJ, but he should have started JJ before. Because I don't think he'll be ready. And I don't think Cade, even at home, can beat Ohio State.
Damn.
I just don't think they can.
I don't know if we have a big I don't know if Michigan the Buckeyes or Michigan State even make the playoffs. I mean,
they're all going to mess around, fuck each other off. Well, because this Saturday, put it like this, because everybody now between the three has one loss. For Michigan State has to lose on Saturday, so they get two losses, and then Michigan has to beat Ohio State next week, and then they get in because then Ohio State gets their second loss in Michigan.
Michigan's in the driver's seat. If Michigan, and I don't think they will, I think the Buckeyes, I think they beat the living shit out of little brother on Saturday.
I hope they do.
Little brother.
Yeah, that's what they forever will be known as.
They do not have the defensive back. Secondary or even the middle back end to handle that receiving core when that young freshman from Rancho when that boy is going, it's real, dog. And he's got the receivers. They don't have the back end. Michigan's in the driver's seat though, because Michigan State gets knocked out and all they gotta do, it comes down to the game.
Yeah.
Like it should. Michigan, Ohio State, winner goes to the Big Ten, championship game. Whoever they play from the other side, they're going to beat the shit out of. They will make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But and now, if Michigan State somehow pulls this shit off, it does.
If they do, then we're toast.
It's exactly right, where coach comes in and says, none of the three make it. Because if little brother wins this weekend and Ohio State beats Michigan, none of the three of them don't make it.
Yeah.
They won't make the
They're going to have to get on the conference call. They got to get on the Zoom.
They're
going to have to figure it out.
One of them's going to make it. Because of that damn win against Michigan, Mel Tucker's about to get a reported $69 million extension. Like,
what was it, 2019, when he got up out of Colorado?
Yeah.
He was like, you know what?
Before COVID.
He said, you know, I love y'all. I'm going to be here forever. Yeah. He was like, I'm here. What was that, like a day or two later?
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey,
I'm going to Michigan State.
But, you know, I'm here. Hey, get your money, black man.
Listen, I say it all the time. Yes. There's no loyalty in coaching.
Business.
Oh, listen, man.
All of us love the game. We would all do the, guys, we would all say the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of us love the same
easily.
Thing. When we were in that predicament, you can't tell the kids you're leaving. You can't tell the recruits you're leaving.
Yeah.
You can't tell the parents you might be. You have to say, I'm here. I love football in this state. I love the school. This is a great place. This is where I want to be. I don't know how many times I gotta say it. This is where I want. And as soon as that next school sends that check, and there's a few more zeros.
Yeah. Wow, $500,000 signing bonus.
As soon as I got my check, let's go.
I'm here for it.
No, he took the bag, and I mean, he turned that program around. He turned that program around. So I mean, at the end of the day, all these coaches at that highest level, dog, is which biggest school is going to offer me a job? That's what it comes down to.
Or the bag.
Yeah, which is going to offer me the job or the bag?
You know what? I'm liquid for life. Someone offer me the bag.
Hey, all right. Don't ever delete this. Right.
No. Once this goes on Apple, you hit.
It's a wrap.
You hit.
10 years later.
Right.
But it's like that. Because, I mean, just look. SC fired the guy that we didn't want there.
Oh, man.
He ends up taking a job at Georgia Southern. Why? One, to stay in coaching. And two, shit, I got to get paid. Because he didn't want that job.
You don't think so?
Hell no, he didn't want no Georgia Southern job. You just went from USC.
Not coming from there yet.
I know you've seen the pictures. He don't look happy.
Hell, this is him smiling, holding the jersey.
Their hats, but, the logos.
I was listening to the one of the podcasts earlier this week. It was the ESPN Daily one, and they were talking about how they were talking about like the top 10 coaches who are still getting paid by their previous schools because of like their buyout clauses. And it was just like, yo, once you're a D1 head coach and you become a D, and then you just stay at D1 and
you're
head coaching level
for life,
and then you get fired. Dog, you get paid to not work at one place, but then you're getting paid to be here at another place.
Still collecting a check from FAU.
No. Oh, yeah. Charlie Weiss still getting broke off.
Yes, like Charlie Weiss ain't coached in years.
I say Charlie Weiss is finally off that list. Charlie Strong is on that list
from Louisville.
Yeah, but Texas most recently.
Oh, right.
Kevin Sumlin, so two black guys
from
there.
Texas A&M
and Arizona.
He's getting another gig, isn't he?
He's somewhere else as a coordinator, but he's still getting paid.
Another head coach.
No,
I think Rich Rod was on that list.
Jimbo.
Rich Rod, y'all guy.
the coach from Arizona State before Herm Edwards, he's on that list.
Oh, I forget dude's name. I know
you're
talking about.
Because you helped some of the kids get recruited there, didn't you?
To ask you?
Yeah.
No.
Before Herman
was. Yeah, that was a hard no. No.
It was Arizona Christian.
You were talking about like visits that some of your guys had when you were at Mayfair.
Samaje had the bag. Shout out to Samaje, man. He a bad boy.
I know I'm not crazy. Yeah. I just didn't know which coach it was with.
Is he confusing me with Prentice Gill?
I don't know. Shit. And then it was a couple others, but like the cap of that number was like $12 million that they were getting paid for the next 4 years from like at least one or two previous schools, and they're still coaching somewhere
else. Brother, the craziest thing my auntie has ever told me is you can't get rich coaching. That's a lie.
That's a big lie.
That's a major lie.
But let them know how much you make at Lakewood.
Yeah.
$14,658. Per game.
We're like, we need an equipment manager.
Right. He's like, how much, you know, pay?
Wait a minute.
Now you
make it almost like NFL scout team.
Water boy.
Right. Hydration attendance. Like, nah, man.
It's high quality H2O.
But it's wild, though. I mean, at the end of the day, like it all comes down to politics,
of course,
and money. That's it.
Yeah,
like you got coaches coaching in places where they really don't deserve to be there.
Kirk Ferentz,
who is that?
Yeah, I was like, who?
Iowa's head coach. He's been there since I was 10.
Damn. Oh, he done done some shit there though.
I'm 30.
He done some shit there.
Damn, you didn't have to put your age out there like that.
I will, because I ain't that old.
He done some shit there, though. And they wave at the little kids at the hospital.
That's great.
That's tight.
Y'all like that tradition?
That's tight.
I mean, that's cool.
You gave me a good idea for after the show. Good job.
Thanks.
There you go.
That's cool, but Kirk Ferentz been there and been robbing the entire state of an actual good football team.
Bro, Iowa ain't never going to win shit, for real. Damn, let's be honest, man. BJ.
Oh, here we go.
I want to know. You work for Fox and ESPN. What would you say was the best situation for you? Where did you have the most fruitful experience?
And this is what I call the don't get fired segment.
Because you still work for them?
Guys, ask your questions. I speak freely.
Oh, hold on. Before you go, I'm going to just give my prediction and say,
I have a feeling.
ESPN.
I'm going to say Fox.
Fox.
Bro. I'm going to for sure say Fox.
I'm about
Disney? Could you even... Disney?
Yeah.
Hey. Cause you even
right, Disney.
Cause you even think about
imagine the little shows, fucking mouse.
The little shows that be on right now that's on ESPN and Fox. Like, you got Skip Bayless, you get Stephen A.
Stephen A.
You know what I'm saying? You take
Skip Bayless?
It's not about taking one or the other, but okay,
it's the type of show, like
even, you know what I'm saying? Even with knowing some people that work there, hell, we got two other shows that got hosts that work there too. Yeah, my money's on Fox.
Y'all niggas hiring?
We are definitely hiring at the Vessel Sports Network. So yes, technically I'm hiring. I don't know if the other company.
Perfect.
I freelance. You know, at my point in my life, two young kids, married. Yeah, I would take a permanent position to broaden my portfolio and still build my company on the back end and still branch off, very similar to like what Dan Patrick did and kind of owns his own entity. I kind of like that feeling of owning my own shit. I'll sacrifice, you know, 5-6 years if I had to build, because I already know if I get in the door permanently, it's a wrap. That's why I ain't in yet, because somebody's scared. I'm a threat. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I get in on the mic, there's nobody I sit next to, and Mark will tell you this, there's not one person in the industry that I can sit next to and feel intimidated by, and I feel like talk sports better than me. And I feel like that I can't hang with and show the same respect, but talk a high, passionate, debatable conversation where somebody in my home be like, "Damn, it's about to go to blow." And as soon as they say, "We'll be right back at this commercial break," we go, "Yo, that was a dope ass segment, bro." I still feel like you have to watch shit, but that was a dope ass. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
It's Fox, because Fox allows me to be DJ. Fox allows me to be who I am. They don't try to change me. Fox allows all their talent. Now, I ain't going to name names. I like certain shows or certain shows that I don't like. But I'm not the only person there who feels that way. You know what I'm saying? So this ain't a don't get fired segment. I told you guys, I'm smart enough to know what not to say, but I'm still kind of saying it in a roundabout way. Just don't mention names. I like being who I am. I like talking to sports the way that I talk. The best situation to answer Homeboy's question was probably linking up with Mike Hill. I give Mike Hill a lot of love and support as far as being my main mentor in this industry. That got me in the door. Like, my wife worked with him at ESPN. She's still there now, going on year 15 over at the Mouse. And wanted to get me on radio. Mike said, "Hold on, call somebody in New York on three-way, put me on the phone with him." Before I knew it, 3 days later, I was on Howard Stern Sports Division in Sirius Satellite Radio in the McGraw Building in Midtown doing a live radio show with Scott Fidel and Lou Pellegrino. So Mike put it on like that. And that elevated to when I moved to L.A. and Hollywood. He was out here, moved and was doing his thing over at the Simpsons Channel. And we linked up again there. He was having me come in on Sundays, sitting on his show with him and Kirk Morrison, which was running on Sundays.
Yeah.
That led me meeting a cat like Mark, Rob Parker, and Chris. Yep. Mike got me in the door, but Chris Broussard got Fox to cut me a check. He was Chris the first guy that went to
solid
the
cat. Like, yeah, shout out. Solid
you
cat.
You want to bring this dude in, not on some segment. Let him co-host with me. Rob's on vacation. Get the guy a shot. If he sucks, we ain't got to bring him back. But I'm coming to you saying he good money, because Rob and Chris had done my show a bunch of times. And he was the first one where they was like, "All right, fine, man. We pay you blank, blank dollars per show." I was like, "Oh, all right. Y'all sure y'all just need me for one? Because I'm free all week. Like, I can come back." So that was the best situation, was running into cats like that. Black men, other black men who put other young black men on. And not without fear of, "Oh, this guy could take my spot." Because there's a lot of that in this industry. A lot of people don't put people on. I don't have to name no names. Look at the top black people in this industry. Just tell me who their proteges are.
Yeah.
Tell me who they brought along. Shit. Tell me who they bought into the business. You know what I'm saying? Mike Hill told me this story one time. Where he said he gets almost 100 emails a day from guys who want to get put on. He said he just go watch them 5-6 seconds. He's like, "Bro, you don't have it. Like, stop hitting me up. You know, you're trying to be a star. You're trying to be a celebrity. We do this shit for real.
Yeah,
this is journalism. Yeah. We don't fuck around with it." So Fox, they allow you to do that. They allow you to be a journalist. I think the Mouse, when I was calling games for ESPN Radio, I was calling college football for them. there were a few times, and true stories, I got pulled aside after games, man. And it was a shock, because here I am thinking, I'm doing this great job. I'm looking at the internet. The internet is responding. God, where y'all find this dude? He's finally somebody calling it like it shit, like it is, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, God, this is, you get a few. Oh, where'd you find this guy? How fast can we fire him? Y'all's gonna find those guys. Everybody don't love you. I live by the 75-25 rule, you know what I'm saying? You only need 75% of the people to fuck with you. That's it. Right. You know what I'm saying? There's 233 million people in America. Stop waiting on your friends and your fucking family. There's a lot of people that'll fuck with you and show you love. So I got pulled aside, and they were like, yeah, we need you to be a little more positive. I was like, positive? I'm just calling the plays. I'm just, it's 3rd and 18, and you ran a triple off for wishbone play. I mean, what the fuck did you want me to say?
On that bullshit. Yikes. You know, like,
so someone ran a double reverse screen.
Oh my gosh.
In a one score game. What'd you want me to say? You want, okay. And then they came to me like two or three times in one season, bro. And it was a shot, and I learned from it, though. I didn't take it personal. It was a lot of long drives home at 1 and 2 in the morning. Like, man, like, am I built for this shit? Like, I thought I was doing a lot. You question yourself and you run into that, but they were trying to mold me. They saw a light-skinned black man with blue eyes, and they thought, oh, he's the right sort. He fits in. Yeah, we can use that. That shit's real in this industry, man. Don't think that it's not. They always need a token, nigga. And then they need a few mulattoes. They need a few of me. They need a few Asians. They need a few Hispanics. Like, that's the game, bro. That's just, it's like college, right? You can't just let in all white folk. Gotta have a percentage of this. Gotta have a percentage of this. Gotta have a percentage of this. The journalism and sports broadcasting business is the same. So I felt like when I was getting those talks, it didn't feel like I was doing anything wrong. It felt like that I was trying to be molded. And that was the difference. Fox has never pulled me to the side ever and done that to me. They've always, I get text messages from the president of Fox Sports Radio when I get off air. Dope. Great show, dude. Loved it. And sometimes I feel like I might have stepped over, and I'll be walking to the car in the garage like, man, they ain't calling me no fucking more. I don't have to bring up LeBron. Y'all know how I get about LeBron. God. And I get a text from the president saying, hey, dude, great stuff. Chris Broussard texted me, bro, that was your best show ever. And, you know, it just lets you know that you can be yourself, man. You just got to find the right people that'll let you be yourself. And that's been Fox.
That's love. Man, that was shit.
Well, the mouse lost.
The mouse clearly lost. We knew that.
Below it.
We for sure knew that.
They didn't lose. I respect the company, the man. Mouse. But I like the feeling of being able to be who I am. I know I can't say certain words, guys. I know I got to stay off certain things. Recently, and I hate to blab, but this was important to me. When Maria Taylor, when the whole shit went down with her over there,
I was very
vocal about that. Not on my radio show, not on Spreaker, on iHeartRadio, where I got my show at. No, I was on Fox Sports Radio, and I saw that on the rundown, and I said, okay, here's your opportunity to show the peoples that's listening that you ain't about that flim-flam bullshit.
Yeah.
And when that question came up, the host at that time was like, it was a private conversation. I feel for Rachel. I said, I don't feel a damn thing for her. You kidding me? I went in, but just so respectfully, but I made sure I said, this woman's now got to leave her position and leave her job, because first of all, you're at work. Ain't no such thing as privacy at work. You're still at work. Whether you're in a bubble and in your hotel room, that's still work. You didn't check your speaker. You didn't cut the red button off. No, you got caught. And your real feelings came out, and I went hard and defended her. I woke up the next morning to like 200 messages on Instagram, Twitter, text messages, everything from other black people from a lot of networks, especially the most from the mouse, saying, we respect you, bruh, for going on air and saying what you said about Maria yesterday. About time there's a black man that stood up, yo, and said what you said. And I was like, bro, I just spoke, man. And I didn't cuss. I didn't call nobody a name. I told him the way I felt about the situation. And you watch Maria Taylor now. Don't fail the eye test. Look in her eyes, man. She is not happy there. That's my opinion. And I may be wrong, but they had her horse racing, bro. So she went from College Game Day to primetime Saturday night game with Herbie and Fowler up in the booth, the biggest college tandem that there is other than CBS's team. She's the sideline doing those games, doing college basketball game day, all that play. The Sunday night football in the stadium, standing next to a dude who couldn't play quarterback and horse racing.
Fuck. That's wild, bro.
Yeah, with NBC Sports, by the way. Let's throw the narrative that she is with.
I just look at her face.
What's wrong with NBC?
Should they give her the money she's asking for? I don't know. That's not my debate.
Right.
But she should have never had to make the decision to leave that network. I tell people all the time, and now this is the real, and this is me kind of still defending Mouse. There's two networks you don't leave. You don't leave the Simpsons Channel, you don't leave the Mouse. Unless you've started enough money and you got enough investors to go do your own shit. You don't leave those two networks, guys. Yeah. Not when it comes to sports. You don't. You stay there. If and you want to do this, you stay there.
Yeah. And I commend you for using your platform to do that and support her in the way that you did, because as we know and as we mentioned earlier, it's a lot of people that have certain platforms that haven't just jumped off the ledge, you know what I'm saying, and just fully supported. They still teetering the fence, you know, or kind of straddling that line. But I mean, I commend you for going ahead and just stepping up and speaking your piece for that, for real.
I do it for all my people, though. I'm a big black quarterback defender. Yeah, I'll do Cam, Lamar, all, like, I'm not hearing that shit. I've done that. I've taken the opportunity on bigger networks to use that platform. Don't let me come in and see Cam Newton on the rundown or see Lamar on the rundown or see a black quarterback or a black coach on the rundown. Don't bring that to me, bro. Don't let this all this buttery vanilla shit y'all see happening over here. Don't let this fool you. You know what I'm saying?
Because it'll get real.
Yeah, I'm the sports Malcolm X, baby. Like, I'm gonna say it like it is. I'm not. You're not gonna tell me Lamar. It's not a color thing, but Lamar, Jack, shut up, bro. You saying it because he's a black quarterback. If he was a white quarterback, y'all still giving Sam Darnold an opportunity.
Shout out Cam for getting back in the league.
Hey, man, two touchdowns.
Shout out to Cam.
Shout out to Cam. Two touchdowns.
He let everyone know he was back.
Yep, that's
let
right. Superman.
I'm back.
I like he took his helmet off and let him know.
Yeah, like on everything.
And you know what? On that note, on comebacks and everybody just being on some positive shit, Justin, if you were talking to a middle school parent right now.
Oh, let's get it.
Why should they come to Lakewood? Not Death Row, but why should they come to Lakewood?
Yeah, not Death Row. Why
their
Lakewood?
Their kid plays a skill position.
Not even skill position. They just play football, but they want to get coached well. They want to get, you know, the opportunity to be exposed well. Have the opportunity to be coached by somebody that went to a D1 university, a top D1 university that was also, you know, part of the Catholics versus Convicts rivalry. Shout out to Miami.
Catholics versus Convicts.
But, you know... You know, why should a middle school parent entrust you and entrust your coaching staff with their son?
I believe at Lakewood we have the best administration. I put together the best coaching staff, Coach Fern, Coach P. We not here for the money. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you right now, our stipends are less than 3 racks for the whole year.
We love this shit.
We invested in the future. This is long term. We ain't gonna be around for 1, 2, 3 years. We want to be a part of their lives beyond sports. And I think that's what makes our staff, that's what makes Lakewood special. When you leave Lakewood, it's gonna be the best experience, the best time of your life. You're gonna look back and say, wow, I had the best coaches, the best mentors. And look, I still got their number. I could call them right now, and they'll help me. And so... You know, I'll keep it real. You could go anywhere in Southern California, play for great programs, and be seen. You could be noticed. You could post a highlight right now on Twitter, and colleges will see you. And you go into a school that never wins, doesn't go to the playoffs. So it don't matter where you go. You're going to get noticed. It's who you going to surround yourself with. And that's really what it is. We a family at Lakewood, and I hope that's the – I hope it's long term the effects we have on these young men, and I hope they look back and say, wow, it's the best time of my life.
And I'll ask you this last follow up question. You finished this season, you know, the way it happened, and now you're going into year number two. You know, new regime.
It's really year one.
Really year one.
It's really year one.
Really year one.
Okay. Because We got on what in June. So it's really year one.
So you finished this first year like as your unit.
Yeah.
And now you're bringing the unit back. What are your expectations for your players, for your coach staff, for yourself going into year two in the 2022?
I'm just taking it one day at a time. I think the
biggest... Damn, that's the most coach answer I can fucking get. Damn it. Fucking Belichick.
I know. I knew Belichick with it.
Honestly.
He did.
I was pleased.
He Belichicked me.
I was pleased in the weight room. Coach Leia is in here. I was pleased
Coach
with
Leia,
how.
What up?
Coach, yeah.
Give a round of applause.
Shout out to our strength program. Shout out to our strength program. She not only holding the strength role down, she's adding, you know, life coaching to the staff and to the players as well.
Media coaching.
Wait, you know, mean to tell me that you have a pseudo sports psychology department?
Look. That's his wife.
Look, I was happy at the end of today's workout. Kids were asking Coach Lay, "Hey, can you give me a copy of the nutrition plan?"
That's right.
They want to do more. Yeah. They're invested, and that's the effect we want.
Another round of applause. That's what you call a top 10 high school program. You know they're gonna drink.
She got a nutrition plan for him.
No, for real. Like it just.
Nutrition plan and the mental health.
Gas your program.
I'm here. Yes,
gas
please.
Your program.
I'm asking this because I'm asking from an unbiased, neutral perspective, and I'm not, you know, recruiting. I'm not trying to violate CIF. I just host a show.
We're just having a regular conversation about what we were saying.
I ain't asking even them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll say one more thing. Our coaching staff is relatable. We were just in their shoes 10 years ago. Less than 10 years ago. We get it. We know where they are. We know what they're going through. I mean, I grew up in the neighborhood. You know, I'm a product of Long Beach Unified. So I get it. Yeah. Right? And so we kind of want to show them another way. Don't go that way. Look, you trust in us, come this way, and we're going to take care of you. So, yeah.
You hear that, parents? They will take care of your kid, and they will make sure they become the best and brightest student athlete that they could possibly be.
And y'all gonna pick up some gems along the way too.
Hey, but he said it the wrong way. Not one, not two, not three, not four.
He said
we gonna be there for a long time.
For a while.
Yeah, we gonna be there for a while.
And they're building a program.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between just playing for a team and building a program.
No, not a program. A family.
Yeah. A family.
We building a family.
Building a family.
Everything is family oriented, bro. Like it's all.
Excuse me.
It's all.
You're building a family, not just a program, not even a program. You're building a family.
And the thing about it, because just in anything you do, whether that's your occupation, that's your relationships, and anything, it has to be the proper fit. So for you to be a part of family, you got to fit in the family. If you don't fit in the family, and we're not going to say you're a black sheep. We're not going to say you're the oddball or anything like that. It's just a matter of this family doesn't fit for you. Mm-hmm. And as we said earlier, if this family doesn't necessarily fit for you, we'll help you find another family.
He said he got the papers ready.
Yeah, we got them ready.
First, he got the papers.
He's not. But it's not if you don't want to be in this family. It's if you don't want to be in this family.
If
you're looking for another family, then, hey.
That's fine.
We're not going to hold no bad blood. Like, other high schools, I'd be like, no, I'm going to call.
Yeah,
they
would hold your paperwork. Yeah. They won't let you transfer. That's not us.
No. Yeah, what's up? No, there's a door.
Respect. Hey, shit.
I
wish I got my walking papers earlier.
I'm on the show with these fellow kings, man. We have more connected than you guys know. When I first laid my head out here, when I first moved from the East Coast, I lived in Long Beach. I used to run the LA Fitness on Carson and Cherry. I used to live in Lakewood.
That's crazy.
Damn, that's close.
That's right there. That's crazy.
Yeah, I used to run that LA Fitness, man, with my boy James Thomas. And it's like one of my first jobs to get some money in my pocket while I was doing stand-up. I was performing with Scrunch Up. And I was going to the Hop out there in Bellflower, whatever that nightclub is out there. It might be closed now. This is a while. It's like 15 years ago. So when I first laid down out here, my first apartment was on East First Street, Long Beach, down by the beach. So I'm very familiar with that area. The first college game I called on my own was for Cerritos.
Oh, wow. Awesome. That's crazy. We got some kids at Cerritos.
Yeah, we got some kids at Cerritos.
I used to help work those kids. I used to sell personal training, be a personal trainer at LA Fitness. So I used to work out those kids and train those kids a lot. And the part you guys say about kids thinking they have a certain talent, I've seen it up close and personal, man, where you put the equipment on them, you put the wristbands on them and the gloves and the cleats and throw a nice reflect on his helmet and shit. The motherfucker like, he about to go out here and ball. He got all the fresh shit on.
Looking cold.
You can't play dead. And when you watch his work ethic. And so I'm enjoying listening to you guys talk because I love coaches. I think they're a very overlooked part of sports. Where I was looking at the athletes and shit. And you got to have great coaching. No superstar athlete that's won a lot of championships on any level was ever had a piss poor coach.
Right.
He always had. There's a reason why modern day has been good for so long. There's a reason why Bosco's been good for that. There's a reason why Long Beach Poly, the Jackrabbits, were so good for so long. Some of De La Salle, if you go back out east, man, you look at schools like DeMatha and Bishop O'Carroll, and you go up in New York, and even if you look at Archbishop McLemore in Philly, that powerhouse there, St. Francis in Philly, that powerhouse. The coaches all been there for like 50 fucking years.
Longevity. So great longevity.
You got some late data in Michigan.
Kudos to you guys and good luck, man. Actually, it's funny. I looked up y'all team. It was about 3 or 4 weeks ago because I know at that time you guys were about 500. I was trying to gauge who was going to go to the playoffs so I could start to kind of figure out what games I wanted to go call.
Yeah.
So I did have kind of eye on y'all squad. I saw that you guys started a little slow, but then picked it up, man, and seemed like in the middle of the season, kids started to get the coaching. But it's tough your first year, so respect to you guys, man, and good luck in year number 2, man.
Appreciate it.
Some help. I don't need no money. I don't want no bread, man. Y'all need a little help.
What's your background? What's your background? What you coach?
I coach a little bit of everything. I play tight end, outside linebacker. I play quarterback in high school. I play corner receiver. Play semi-pro football.
He's versatile.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Shout out to the semi-pro. Yeah,
well, hey, semi-pro.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, the stipend's a little more than 3,000. Just so you know.
Hey. Come holla at Tupo. You know what I'm saying?
Slide in the DMs. What's up?
You know what I mean? Like. You know, drop your number in the chat or something, you know what I mean?
If I didn't work so damn far away, I'd come try to jump on the damn stairs.
I played for the Army, and I also had a trial with the Ravens back in 1999 when they first got back to the DMV area. Held some open tryouts, man, so I had a trial. Didn't work out. I mean, I was good, but that level is just all another whole different. And I think my mind, too, was still I was chasing panties a lot, so I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, don't I look like I chased
Oh, God.
I'm just being real. I'm not saying that about me. It's just like when you look at him, you're probably like, yeah, he's probably out here worried about all this ass. Instead of focusing. But I have a crazy football background, man. I would just like to come out and help, coach. I'm being all comedy and jokes aside, man. I'll DM you if there's a spot for me just to even come out to a practice and just observe, man, and hang out, man. I'll carry the cones out there, homie. I'll hold one of them blocking joints if you need me to do something small.
Or just being up in the booth and an extra set of eyes. That's
saying, you've connected with the right people at the right place at the right time. Hell, I mean, we've mentioned his name multiple times.
The plug is plugged.
We going to the shit.
The plug is plugged.
The plug is plugged.
I say,
my business mind moves fast. I'm sitting here thinking like, damn, I should link up with these guys. I can start calling their games, broadcast it on my network, give them even a bigger following to put more attention back on the program as these young people build this program again. Man. This my business mind.
Hey, I love it.
Let's do it.
Listen,
we can make it happen.
Hey, this ain't gonna be the last time we talk. This ain't gonna be the last time we talk. This was just the intro.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what's up.
Again, Netflix.
Respect to you guys, man. Coaching, that shit's not easy, man. You guys deal with a lot of shit.
We appreciate you for real.
A lot of shit, man. And high school kids, parents. That's why I don't do it because I just slapped the shit out of one of these parents.
At least he said the parents, not the kids.
Yeah.
You know, at least he had the parents.
Not push them or anything.
Like. Yeah, you know, it's suspension.
One of these helicopter dads, you know what I'm saying? You work at T-Mobile. If you could coach, you'd be out here doing this shit.
Facts.
Right. Yelling in the booth.
Or not the booth, yelling in the stands.
If V, you mentioned the name multiple times. Shout out to Rob P for one. Yeah. Linking us up together, but then because of Rob, I linked up with my kid that got this show popping. And now look where it's at. And look, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Pseudo 6, you know, people in the studio, and look where their studio's been. So, like, you know, God works it's in mysterious ways, and you know, there's a grander plan for everything that we all do.
There's not a black man in the industry, in my opinion, that have bought on and put guys really in position to be successful from the dirt. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
In front of 100,000 applicants that probably would have got it before us.
Yep.
There's not a black man that's done that more than Rob Parker in this business.
100%.
And you can't talk about Rob in my presence. You get smacked.
100%.
Nah, he's a quality dude, man.
We gotta give him his flowers. We gotta give him his love, man. Because he is a mentor to the people in a way that if you go up to him and you go, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm trying to do. Help me put the fucking puzzle together.
Yeah.
And he'll do that.
Yeah.
He'll have dinner with you, have some drinks with you. If you're consistent with it, he'll be around.
Yeah.
If you're not consistent, like any other mentor, you go,
it's gonna fall by the wayside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've gotten a chance to know Rob for 8 years, because I started my original podcast with him.
Yeah.
Also, let me try this out. Let's see if I have a voice in this.
Yeah.
I moved out here, and then he messed around and moved out here. Boom, look at this shit. But I don't get my confidence unless I get a chance to do what I did initially with him as a side project, just to figure this whole shit out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? By the grace of God, and then, you know, meet VJ, I meet Michael, I meet Keith, I've met a bunch of other people. I meet you guys, shit.
Yeah, I met you through DP.
Exactly.
Shit, look at that.
Like,
shout out to Shana for plugging me.
Right.
Shout out.
And shout out to G.
Shout out to my guy G, man.
Shout out to G. So, you know, it's crazy.
It's all love all around, man.
And it's crazy, just, you know.
We need more of this, man. We need more of this. This industry, listen.
Every industry, shit.
We're the most talented. Nobody, black folk. I'm just sorry. I'm going to just say it, man. Like, I don't care who get offended. We kind of the best at all of this shit. Because if we started civilization, like, yeah, everything's taken from us. From whether it's the Hispanics or the Latinos. I'm black and Dominicano. You know what I'm saying? So I rep both sides. You know what I mean? I don't have no hate for nobody, period. But definitely my Hispanic brothers and sisters in the industry and my black folks in the industry. NABJ is another great tool. If you guys haven't been, or if you have, keep going. If you haven't, get there 1 year, man. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing. It's just our melon, our skin tone. Represented in a big way. If we showed this type of love more, bruh, we would take, man, we always ask people, how does Diddy's Revolt have a sports division yet? How?
Facts.
How? You got a network. Dame Dash, and I fucks with Dame Dash, but where's your sports division? Where you take some of us?
Right.
Put us on, you see we could do this. You see we ain't trying to be some. We bringing real entertainment shit, bruh. Put us on.
And
we don't do that.
And V, on a networking tip, tell the good people how they can find you, and tell and then remind everybody where they can find your next comedy show on December 4th.
Next comedy show December 4th is at the Yaman Comedy Cafe, Melrose, Hollywood, California. You can always find me on Vest in Sports on Twitter. I appreciate all my true followers over there. And on IG, all I do is post my fam and my son and a bunch of sports clips over there too. On my newborn daughter, man, y'all can find me over there, the big vanilla funny over on that joint, man. So, and also VJ's on Sports with Iconda. We're coming up on episode 400. Super proud of that, man. Jeez. And 20,000 downloads. We're approaching, I'm like 80 downloads, I believe, from 20,000. And we're on episode like 389, so almost to 400. So I'm proud of that, man.
Big time.
Y'all can catch that on iHeartRadio and Spreaker.com. Also stream live on LinkedIn, Twitter, Periscope, and YouTube.
Boom.
That's a sports network.
Boom, boom, boom. It's lit. Coach Justin, how can the good folks find you?
Where you at, Tupo?
I'm not going to leave my address, but...
Lakewood High School.
You can find me at Lakewood High School, but follow Lakewood Football on IG. We also started a nonprofit, Lancer Sports Academy. That's how we fund the program. Should I even have said that?
That's fine.
Oh, that's fine.
Cool. That's fine.
That's how we're going to be able to pay the coaches if you jump on staff. But and then you don't want to follow my Instagram, so I'm not even going to say it. There ain't nothing popping on there. It's all about family on there. So
all about family.
Bunch of BTS.
Next time.
All power.
Oh, it's on me. I saw all eyes on me.
We'll finish it.
Man, y'all know what it is, man. Find me on Twitter, D_Presley14, IG, DPresley14. You know, on Wednesdays, you know where I'm at, right here, posted, giving some value. You know what I'm saying? Talking a little sports, a little life.
Yeah,
man.
Shout out. Y'all know where to find me, _ my government name, Mark Keenan. Twitter, @ my government name. Y'all know what to do. Follow me.
You allowed to say that with your government name because police ain't looking for your ass.
That's right. Hey, because I have a clean ass record and I am just fucking pretty. That's why.
Oh, this man said he was pretty. Wow, dude. Crazy, yeah, bro.
I started using my government last name about 2-3 months ago. I got them last warrants taken care of. So now I can really.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there you go.
Easy peasy.
The only reason I started using it on social media is because my cousin was like, dog, you know you can like just own the rights to that shit, right? I was like, you know what? Thank you for the business advice. And I'll go grab it.
Hmm.
That's the only reason why I did it.
Facts.
Yeah, I don't really be using my whole name, yeah. Honestly. It's been a...
My shit is so unique, it's just like, why not just go own it?
There you go.
Yeah, own that shit.
Fuck
yeah.
It.
Who else gonna own it?
Do you?
No one.
Yeah.
Some white person in Europe.
Like two other people out there.
Go ahead, Fern. What's the word? Where you
What's
at?
Up? Coach Fern Training on IG.
Classy. You know, classy business move.
You know.
Nice.
You know.
Shout out to the Long Beach Sweaters.
Yeah, if you want to see, you know, some decent videos, you know, you could go to the Shredders account.
Humble brag.
Long Beach Shredders just dropped Locals Only new 10-part series.
Who filmed it?
I don't know, some guy.
You're crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, you're chilly right here. Feeling it. Like, Locals Only. Hey, we only getting better and better because, hey, now I know what we're looking for. So Locals Only out now on Shredders IG, so go check it out. And
yeah.
That was it.
But hold on.
Wait
a minute. Coach Lay.
No, Lay.
Coach Lay.
Hey, Coach Lay, come get on the mic,
get
girl.
Get on the mic.
Come on.
Just say hi.
Come on.
Get on.
Get on.
Over here.
Come on. Where can they find you? And what are you doing?
Come on, Coach Lay.
Lakewood High School Football. What was the other one?
What do you do?
Lancer Sports Academy.
What do you do?
I'm a Jill of all trades. Jill of all trades.
Come on the camera. They want to see it.
Come on. Come here. Come here. Come on stage. Come on. Come on. Lead us on. Yay!
Hey, her braids was fresh, eh, mom?
Hey, this is
her braids is fresh.
Hey, mama. Hey, mama. All right, y'all. But y'all already know, this is episode 84. Next week, episode 85. 15 more after next Wednesday until we get to the iconic episode 100 on the TGN Sports Podcast Network. Rate, subscribe, review, follow us. And, hey, just make sure you download us. If you don't catch us on the TGN Sports Radio app, make sure you catch us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Spreaker.com, wherever you get your podcasts. You know what we do when we leave this bitch. Peace, love, and blessings. We are out of here.